Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for May 20th, 2014. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be talking with Renate Pils about how thyroid hormone triggers signaling at the plasma membrane. Thyroid hormone regulates many aspects of metabolism and development. It's made in the thyroid gland, but it enters cells throughout the body. Like many other small molecules and hormones that come into cells, thyroid hormone binds to nuclear receptors, which are transcription factors that activate or repress genes depending on whether or not they're bound to a ligand. Thyroid hormone receptors repress the transcription of target genes in the absence of thyroid hormone, but they stimulate expression of these genes in the presence of thyroid hormone. This is the genomic response to thyroid hormone, changes in gene expression that in turn affect cell biology and metabolism. But thyroid hormone also has effects on cells that are faster than the transcriptional responses mediated by the nuclear receptors. In these non-genomic signaling contexts, thyroid hormone triggers intracellular signaling pathways. Although several examples of non-genomic signaling by thyroid hormone have been described, no one had identified a high-affinity receptor for thyroid hormone outside the nucleus. A new study from the laboratory of Renate Pils identifies a membrane-bound high-affinity thyroid hormone receptor and demonstrates that this receptor is required for non-genomic thyroid hormone signaling in osteoblasts. Pils spoke to me from the University of California, San Diego. Hello, Dr. Pils. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you.
When I think about thyroid hormone signaling, the first thing I think about is signaling in the nucleus. Thyroid hormone binds to receptors in the nucleus to modulate gene transcription, but thyroid hormone has also been demonstrated to elicit non-genomic signaling. That is, it triggers intracellular signaling events that don't rely on gene transcription. In this study, you focused on non-genomic thyroid hormone signaling in osteoblasts. How does thyroid signaling affect that type of bone cell?
Well, we have known for a while that thyroid hormone is important for bone development, but also for maintenance of the adult skeleton. So when people have too much thyroid hormone, they're hyperthyroid, they become osteoporotic. That means their bones become thin and they lose bone. When they are hypothyroid, their bones become denser, but they become brittle and they can have fractures. So we know that thyroid hormone is very important throughout life for bone maintenance. So it's been known that thyroid hormone has all these effects in vivo, but when we looked at it in vitro, we found that it promotes both osteoblast survival as well as osteoblast proliferation. So we think that the protection of osteoblasts from cell death, so the promotion of survival, requires only extranuclear or non-genomic signaling. So thyroid hormone probably does not have to enter the cell very far to, you know, elicit this response by activating this NOCGMP-PKG signaling pathway that we have studied. However, for thyroid hormone to stimulate osteoblast proliferation, it seems to require both nuclear signaling, turning on genes that promote proliferation via the classical nuclear receptor, as well as activating cytoplasmic signaling pathways such as ERK and ACT. So there, the nuclear and non-genomic functions cooperate with each other.
The punchline of your paper is that your group identified a high-affinity plasma membrane receptor for thyroid hormone. What is that receptor, and how does it differ from the nuclear forms of the thyroid hormone receptor?
We first looked at non-nuclear signaling by studying cells that were made deficient in thyroid receptor alpha or beta. And we found that it requires only thyroid receptor alpha for the responses of thyroid hormone that we were studying, mainly ERK and ACT activation in osteoblasts. And then we backed up and said, well, in the cells that are deficient in thyroid receptor alpha, or this is particularly thyroid receptor alpha 1, which is the only thyroid receptor alpha that binds thyroid hormone, what do we need to put in to restore the response of the cells to thyroid hormone, meaning what kind of artificial constructs do we have to put in to see ERKN activation by thyroid hormone again. It turned out that it did not require the nuclear localization signal. It did not require the DNA binding domain. We could cut the receptor down to a very short fragment that was only like 30 kilodalton, or actually even less, and included only the C-terminal end of the thyroid receptor alpha cDNA. And when we checked cells for what kind of proteins were cross-reacting with classic thyroid receptor alpha antibodies in membrane fractions, we found that there was one main band that was very small, about 28 kilodalton. And then we looked at how would this be made and found that it is through initiation from an internal methionine.
So essentially, the plasma membrane form of the receptor is a short form of the nuclear receptor, and it's localized to the plasma membrane.
Correct, yeah.
How does it stick to the membrane?
So it does not have any classical transmembrane domains or anything like a myristylation site that we could find. But we did find a pretty good palmitylation site, and that site is conserved. And when we mutate this consensus sequence for palmitylation, then the receptor is no longer attached to the membrane. And when we label the cells with palmitil, we can find the receptor incorporates palmitate. So we found in several ways that the receptor is palmitylated and that this palmitylation site is required for membrane attachment. We think it is probably attached from the inside to the membrane. Maybe it's not just via palmitylation. It may be via ionic interactions that are requiring other amino acids. We haven't studied that completely yet.
You said you're not totally sure yet, but you think it's stuck into the inside of the plasma membrane. If the receptor is stuck on the inside of the plasma membrane, does that mean that the ligand binding domain is inside the cell?
Probably.
So the receptor would still be binding to thyroid hormone that has entered the cell, but it would be binding it in the cytosol as opposed to in the nucleus.
Right. What we do know is that the membrane receptor is stuck in subdomains of membranes that are called calveoli, or cholesterol-enriched microdomains of membranes, because it co-localizes with other proteins there, including calveolin-1, and it requires cholesterol for signaling, and, you know, it is in a place where a lot of signaling happens. Since we don't have any evidence that it would be spanning the membrane, it is more likely than not attached to the inside of the membrane, just like other fatty acid-modified proteins. It may also need other binding proteins that are in the membrane that we haven't identified yet. So it's possible that it requires scaffolding proteins or whatnot to get to the place where it needs to be. Thyroid hormone is very lipophilic, and it's a small molecule, so it probably diffuses quite easily through the plasma membrane, and it would first then meet this membrane receptor before doing much else.
Nuclear thyroid hormone receptors mediate signaling from the hormone by binding DNA directly to regulate the transcription of target genes. How does this plasma membrane form of the thyroid hormone receptor transduce signaling?
By being in these signaling hubs in the membrane called calveoli, it is very closely located to an enzyme called endothelial NO synthase. And we know that thyroid hormone exposure of the cells activates this enzyme. We found that it also very rapidly increases intracellular calcium, probably by opening some calcium channels. Work by others in other cell types has shown that thyroid hormone can activate ion channels. So in osteoblasts, thyroid hormone very quickly increases the intracellular calcium concentration, thereby activates NO synthase, which then produces NO and activates a signaling cascade that includes guanylate cyclase and protein kinase G. And by doing that, it then activates SARC in the same kind of membrane domain where the membrane thyroid hormone receptor is found. So it activates the entire signaling cascade, including protein kinase G, which then regulates SARC, which then activates ERK and ACT. And we have done some previous work that showed how G kinase activates ERK and ACT in these cells.
And those are the signaling pathways that promote survival and proliferation of the osteoblasts.
Right, yes.
you already mentioned that the survival function of thyroid hormone signaling in osteoblasts appears to require just the non-genomic type of signaling, whereas the proliferation function of thyroid hormone signaling seems to require both the non-genomic and the nuclear signaling. In other cell types besides osteoblasts, where non-genomic thyroid hormone signaling has been documented, do you know if those cells require both types, or if some cells just require one or the other, genomic or non-genomic?
I think that is not entirely known. It hasn't been studied that carefully. We know that non-genomic signaling, i.e. activation of ERK by thyroid hormone in some cancer cell lines, can promote proliferation of these cancer cell lines. And those are findings that were published already many years ago. It was just not entirely clear how thyroid hormone activated ERK in those cells.
This membrane-bound thyroid hormone receptor that your group identified is very similar to the nuclear receptor, but it lacks the DNA binding domain, and it's got some modifications that make it stick to the membrane. Is there any precedence for other nuclear receptors having these similar sorts of alternate forms that are present either at the plasma membrane or at an intracellular membrane or in the cytosol somewhere else in the cell?
Yes, there is. And that actually encouraged us to look for this membrane receptor for thyroid hormone. So for estrogen receptors and for progesterone receptors and even androgen receptors, there's a high affinity binding sites at the plasma membrane. And this has been best studied for the estrogen receptor, where there is also a truncated version that is present in the plasma membrane. However, in the case of the estrogen receptor, it has been a long time disputed whether this truncated receptor is really required for non-genomic signaling or whether there is also a full-length form of the receptor in the membrane that has the same function. And I'm not sure that that is completely resolved yet. So in our case, we could find that the full-length thyroid hormone receptor is not able to mediate the non-genomic signaling because we had a construct that was producing full-length protein, but we mutated the methionines inside that initiate the short version that go to the membrane. And when we mutated those methionines, the full-length cDNA that could no longer produce the shorter versions of the thyroid hormone receptor could not reconstitute non-genomic signaling in thyroid receptor alpha-deficient cells.
You did this work in osteoblasts, and misregulation of osteoblasts can lead to bone pathologies like osteoporosis or brittle bones, and thyroid hormone signaling has an effect on those processes. Are there any clinical treatments for osteoporosis or brittle bones that use thyroid hormone signaling or interfere with thyroid hormone signaling?
Not to my knowledge, no. The problem with thyroid hormone signaling in bone is it's complicated, and the effects on osteoclasts actually outpace the effects on osteoblasts. So if we have patients with too much thyroid hormone, they become osteoporotic because thyroid hormone activates their osteoclasts, and they are by far more active than the osteoblasts, which also get activated. So we could not look for the function of our membrane receptor in hyperthyroid animals because there the effect on osteoclasts overshadows everything. So that's why we went to hypothyroid animals. In hypothyroid animals, it's known that there is a reduced number of osteoblasts and osteoclasts. And now when we used a pharmacologic agent that stimulates cGMP production downstream of the non-genomic thyroid hormone receptor, we could actually replace some of the thyroid hormone functions, and we could enhance bone formation in those animals, which we could find, you know, histomorphometrically and so on. So that just says that cGMP signaling in osteoblasts is sort of an anabolic principle, and we are proposing that that might actually be useful as a new kind of paradigm for an anabolic treatment for osteoporosis. But it is only one part of thyroid hormone signaling in osteoblasts that we would be using. We did not find much effect on the osteoclast when we elevated cGMP in these animals.
Dr. Pills, thanks for speaking with me.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
That was Renate Pills discussing a paper published in the May 20th issue of Science Signaling by Kalyana Maran and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.